love that song that we just sung. If you would have been there to behold the scene at Calvary, if you would have seen the Lord as he hung on the cross, I imagine and I'm sure that it would have looked like anything but victory. He was beaten and bloodied and physically had gone through a physical trial that's unimaginable, but it was victory. I mean, what he did made a way for all people to be saved. And I think about one of the things that the scriptures tell us happened, that while he was on the cross, that the veil in the temple just tore in two from the top to the bottom. And that's a good thing. We have access to the Lord through Jesus Christ, and he won that victory for us. It's good to be here, and again, we're thankful to have Brother Alonde with us. He's here from Kenya, come over to be at the minister school again this year, and we're thankful that God made a way for him to be here to spend some time with us. And we were talking earlier, and he's going to be here for a couple of months, and we need to pray for him and for his family while they're apart, and pray for the work there in Kenya, pray for the church there that he pastors, and let's remember him tonight as he comes to stand before us and bring the message. And I want to ask everybody again, I should have mentioned this earlier, but I'd like to ask everybody again to continue to remember Brother Don Watts in your prayers. Brother Watts was scheduled to give a lesson this year at the minister school, and they have they've told him to until he has his surgery done to just not do anything. And so let's keep Brother Watts in our prayers, and let's pray for Brother Tom tonight as he stands before us. God bless you, brother.
I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul and for the opportunity that he has given to me to come over to be able to be with you, Cecile, again this year. I want to bring greetings from Kenya and also to appreciate every one of you that has been praying for us and with us in Kenya. This last year we have seen the Lord's hand so tremendously as we continue to reach out for the ministry and for the work that he has given unto us. We have seen about 15 people that came to the Lord and they were able to join our church after testimony. And I thank God for those brethren that came over. They had an opportunity to preach to them, and they had an opportunity to seek the Lord, and that after they came back, we had opportunity to be able to baptize them into our church at the New Hope Missional Baptist Church in Mombasa. So I want you to continue praying for the work in Kenya. We have two churches, and we have about two missions. And there is a new one that we sent some brethren over in a neighboring country. They had been calling for us, and it's been very difficult to oversee and try to be here and there to preach the gospel and to be able to baptize and oversee this work. in Kenya and also in other country. But God put it in our hearts that we felt that there's a need, because the brethren has been calling over on us to go and help them so that they may have an opportunity to hear the old-fashioned gospel. And we made a decision as a church to send two brothers. That was Brother Jones, my son, and Brother Moses, who stands for me at the church over at the New Hope. We sent them, and this took 1 week doing revival. When they came over, they gave us a very good report. And also the report is that not only that the people are there, but they really need to hear the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, because they are there as a church, but they don't know really what it's all about. So we really feel the burden that we need to go and help them so that they can be able to come to know Christ the Savior. That is just bordering, it's called Mbeya, it's Tanzania, it's a neighboring country. So that's really the work that we pray that the Lord will guide us and will take and will help us to go over again and help those brethren over there in preaching the gospel. As I told you, we have a school, and the school is now having about 900 students, and it's really difficult, though challenging. But we thank God for giving us opportunity that we can be able to preach to them and help them, despite the fact that there is a lot of tremendous challenges right now, that we don't have the most of the, especially water, is really becoming a big problem, because for the last 7 months we have not had any rainfall. So it's so dry and it's very hot. And therefore I need you to pray for us over in Kenya so that we may have rainfall, so that we can have water to drink. And we really do understand that water is really very important. And Jesus was right when he talked about him being the water of life. Really, you cannot, when you have thirst for water, there's nothing that can supplement. There's nothing that can take part of water. Even if you drink Coke or you drink any soft drink, you still will feel the thirst. And it's really an important commodity. So please pray for us. And pray not only for water, but pray for the lost souls to really take it as an urgent thing that they need to really come to the Lord and seek him while he still can be found. We have, as I told you, we have 900 students right now just in New Hope Preparatory School. We have also 150 at our church at Ramogi. That's about 12-hour drive from where I am in Mombasa. 150 students, and also at the school at our church in New Hope, we also have about 200 students there. So we are really ministering to a lot of young people, and we thank God that some of them are responding to the gospel, and they need your prayer, because it will take God and it will take faith for them to be saved. And therefore, it's really my prayer that we shall continue to commit these people and these young people that come to our mission and our church. As I told you, last year we have 15 that got saved during the brethren that came over from Indiana, Brother Elliot, and we have others that came from Missouri, and others came from Tennessee. We had about 8 people, and that was really very fantastic. And it's really, really encouraging to see brothers come over, and it really demonstrate oneness, and that when they pray, they know what they are praying about. And we also thank you for bringing the brethren that always come from this church. So we still need your prayers. Our prayer is that this year in December, or God willing, early next year, we plan to organize that mission, which is at the church, which at the mission. the preparatory school to a church. So we pray that God leading us to do that, we will do that, because we are having about over 100 people attending, and we have many members from the New Hope Church that have that stay around this place, and they come to that mission. So we see that it's important for us to, if it's God's will for us to have this mission become a church, and that will only be done. And I pray that you help us to pray about it. And as I told you, God is continue also to help us, that we have seen young people called to preach, and in all those endeavors, it could be very difficult, but we thank God that God is standing with us, that is also calling the young people to preach the gospel, and therefore, even as I'm here, I know that their work is going on, and they're really standing with me and standing to do the right thing, and they need God's help, and they need your prayers also. I want us to go to the Word of God, and I'm going to be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 19. I'm going to be reading from 1 to 8. 1 to 6, I mean. And Jesus entered Jericho and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you are here with us, and that you are still doing the things that you did while you are here physically as a person. We pray, O God, that you continue to guide and be with those that may need you even at this particular juncture. We pray, O God, that you will help us to be able to understand and to follow in obedience, because, Lord, it is really wonderful to know that you are still seeking for the lost. We love you and we thank you, Lord, because you loved us even before we loved you. Help us, Lord, to uphold you and to lift you up, as the scripture has said, that when you are lifted up, that you will be able to draw all men unto thyself. Lord, we pray for your help. We pray, God, that you will grant us that we may have that mercy, and, Lord, that you will help us to be obedient and to see that your plan fulfilled in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank God for saving my soul. And I want you to pray for me even as I try to deliver this message. I believe this scripture has been read to you several times, but I believe that the Lord has put something in my heart that I wanted to share with you. And I want to say that in life, there are a lot of things that happen, and one of it, of those things, are what I call the calls of life. And these calls of life are really very many. Some people have natural call, that you can be called to go and relieve yourself in the toilet. And sometimes it's really very important, because if you don't respond to that call, you'll find that you are really in trouble and you cannot really do anything else. And therefore, it is really quite important that we respond to the call. And there is another call that is a call to preach, which is also very, very important. In fact, when the Lord calls you, he puts a burden into your heart, and that you cannot be able to just wish it away. it comes with a burden and it comes with a pressure because you see that there is the loss that needs you to tell them and to tell them about the love of the Lord and that they need to hear and with an intention that when they hear the gospel, they will be able to turn to the Lord and be saved. And more importantly, there is also a call for salvation. And that's really what I want to talk about tonight. The Bible talks to us about somebody by the name Zacchaeus. The Bible says that this man was really was a chief tax collector, and was also a publican. He was a person that was really known and famous. And he was not really famous for very good things. He was famous because he was rich, but he was also known to be somebody that was really tried to take a lot of money from a lot of people. And as far as the Jews or the Roman government was concerned, I've meant to understand that depending on how much vigor you had, you could collect as much as you could, and therefore your pay or your reward came from how much you could take from the people. So we can see that Zacchaeus really took a lot of time and went from each and every house, and he really did it with a lot of courage and with a lot with a fervent spirit. And we find that nobody during his time really could really miss to pay the taxes. I've also heard the American comment that the two things that are important, that you can do everything, but the two things are most necessary, and you cannot really pass them. That is death and paying your taxes. And therefore, we find out that this gentleman by the name Zacchaeus was really known for his diligence. That everyone that lived during his time, that lived under his jurisdiction, paid their taxes promptly, because he knew wherever they are, and he could go to their houses on every time, and no one really went without paying taxes because of his diligence. And the Bible says that one day, I believe that because we know that Levi, which is also known as Levi, which is also known as Matthew, was also a tax collector. And I believe maybe they might have some relationship. They may have crossed way and maybe discussed this. But Matthew had already become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the event that we are told that Jesus went nearby where Matthew was collecting taxes, and when Jesus spoke to him and told him to follow him, we find out that immediately Matthew left whatever that he was doing and he followed Jesus Christ. And I believe that this is really something that might have really caught attention of Zacchaeus, and that he himself, when he understood and he heard about what was happening, because he was also living in that vicinity, he began to wonder, what is it that really can make a person like Matthew just to quit his job without any notice? And he continued to follow him from that day henceforth. And the Bible tells me that there came an interest in Zacchaeus' life, that he wanted to see who Jesus is. And therefore, as he followed on, he realized there was a natural problem that he had to work on. And therefore, because he was a little man, and he went out in his out of the way to see who Jesus was. And I believe that as he was on his way, he had a multitude of disciples and people singing. And as he saw that multitude, he tried to really look and find out who Jesus may have been in that multitude. But the Bible says that he could not see because of his kind of stature, because he was a little man. And therefore, the kind of wisdom that came into him, and he was so determined, he said, no, I am determined that my little stature is not going to be an obstacle. And we have a lot of people that have problems, and they have challenges and different things that happen in their lives. And when they begin to make a move to find Jesus Christ, there come obstacles. There are different obstacles that can come between you and the Lord. Sometimes it can be a lot of things that you might have seen or grown up in a Christian Christian church. I have a certain American friend. He was my professor at the university. And as he was talking, even though he was there as a working as a professor in the Christian college, all of us in Kenya knew that he knew about God. But as we talked to him about Christ, he was really so much not really wanted to hear about Christ. And one day he told me, frankly, say, Tom, you are my friend, but I would rather have you as my friend, but not as a pastor, but as a friend. And therefore, as I tried to dig deeper, why he was really not interested in the Christ, who has really made him to come over to Kenya, because to us, we are looking at him and looking seeing him as the only way and as a way that he could really be able to help us who are really still do not know about God. But he was not able to share much about Christ, and he didn't want to talk about that. And one day, he shared with me, and he told me, Tom, this is the thing. And I asked, what is the problem? He said, well, I was born in a Christian family, and my father is a pastor. And he said, well, because of the way my father treated me, he made this statement. He said that the father hid behind the pulpit and therefore did not really care about what his mother was doing to him. And this really made him so bitter in life. And I thought a professor would have known how to handle such like a situation and be able to learn of how to forgive and forget. But that thing, he went with him in the plane, and there in Kenya still could really have a self-talk over that issue. It was really an obstacle, even while he was in Kenya. And therefore, I want to say that those kind of obstacles, like Zacchaeus, did not entertain those natural obstacles, those physical obstacles. He said, I will do everything that I can to see who Jesus is. And therefore, as he continued to look, the Bible says that he could not see Jesus because there was a press, there was a lot of people. And therefore, the Bible says that he ran before and climbed a sycamore tree. You see, he was determined. And I want to say that when we want to seek the Lord, when we want to find who Jesus is, and when we are in that process, when we are in that endeavor to find who Jesus is, nothing should stop us. Nothing should stop us. We need to go. We need to go using all our strength. And the Bible says that as he went to see in verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him. You see, this is what I like about Jesus Christ. And this is what I like about God. This is what I like about Jesus Christ, that there's no one that is hidden from his sight. Wherever we are, even when we are deep down into sin, he can still see us. And he can still do something about us. There's no one that can say, well, I am completely filthy and there's nothing, I don't deserve. Well, that is the beginning when you see yourself as not deserving. But I'm glad that Jesus knows where we are. And even right now, there are people that are struggling. And it becomes so difficult to explain. Even sometimes when you're told to explain so much, telling. I remember one day when Brother Bryson was in Kenya, and somehow when we were so further around Lake Victoria, he was so much excited by seeing how many people were getting saved. So he went outside, and as he was trying to really make a photo, he drew back and really got himself into a bicycle, and he fell back, and therefore he began to feel some pain. So as we drove from Ramogi to Mombasa, I had a doctor, a friend, and I said, well, I want to take you to my doctor so that they find out what is wrong. And he told me, no, I don't want to see the doctor. And I said, no, you have to see the doctor to find out what is wrong with you. He said, I don't have that time. I don't have that patience to explain to the doctor what I've gone through, and I cannot explain the history of all that, how I feel and all this. And I bring this to say that sometimes we have gone to such a situation in that a way that we are not able to explain where we have come from and what has happened. And sometimes we really find it as useless to do that. But I'm glad that Jesus knows every situation that we have come from. And you don't need to explain it. He will call you wherever you are. He will call you wherever you are and whatever that... It doesn't matter who you are. And the Bible says that in verse 5 that he called him. He called him by his name. So I want to tell us this particular moment that Jesus knows where we are and he can call us by our name. And today, there's a personal call. For everyone, if you are here tonight and you have not been saved by his grace, by the grace of God, you are really receiving a call, and this call is personal. This call is personal. And Jesus is calling you by your name, just like he did to Zacchaeus. The Bible says that he came down and called on him, saw him and looked. And when verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. So this call is not only personal call, it's only a call for you personally, but it is a very urgent call. It is a call that you have to hasten to. It's a call that you have to respond to, because there are many people that have heard this call, but they waste this call away. I remember the day of Noah. He preached about 120 years, and the people did not know the urgency of that call. And Noah persevered, and he preached the gospel for 120 years, but no one really responded to it. And therefore, God killed all of them and they died. It is very urgent call. This call is today. There are many people that have really whisked away this call. And they have said, well, we are going to respond tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be a very good day. But I know that there are people that have looked forward for the next day, but they have died the day before the another day. So this is a very urgent call. Jesus called Zacchaeus and told him, make haste. He called him and said, make haste and come down. So it's not only an urgent call, the call of Jesus Christ in our life, the call for salvation in our life, the call for redemption in our life, the call to change and to be born again in our life is not only urgent. This call is a humbling call. We need to realize that wherever we are, and the reason why we cannot really receive and accept this mercy and this call is because we are so much high up somewhere. Sometimes taken up by pride of what we can do, by pride of what we should have done. And I want to tell you that Zacchaeus has gone up. And I want to say that he was maybe up there with the pride. And Jesus had to call him to come down. The call to humble down. The call to look down unto yourself. To say, I am not worthy. To say that there's nothing that I can do by myself. There's no work that I can do that can substitute. There's nothing that I can do that can really help me but to trust in the Lord. And Zacchaeus had to come down. And today I tell you, brother, wherever you are, my sister, sometimes people have come up and say, well, I cannot do anything. I'm just a woman. I'm just a young child. You have climbed up some kind of sycamore tree and you are hanging on some natural problem and some problems of your life and some challenges and say, well, I am just going to hang up here. There's nothing that I can do. Jesus is telling you, please come down. Humble yourself and hear what he's saying to you. You will need to humble yourself to be received of him. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus had him and he humbled himself. And the Bible says that he came down. I want to say this call is not only a humbling call, but this call is an abiding call. He's calling unto us, he says, and he says, make haste and come down. For today, I must abide in your house. So Jesus is calling unto us not only that we go to him, but he's calling unto us because he wants to abide with us. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, listen, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and listens to me, if anyone hears my voice, he says, and open the door, I will come in and I will eat with him. That is really the biggest invitation. And that is really something so much powerful to really know that God of all creation might have been waiting just right there outside our door, outside our heart, knocking each and every day, waiting for us to allow him. Because he's not a robber, he's not a thief that he may break into our heart and abide inside. He's waiting for you to voluntarily open your heart and receive him by faith. He's waiting for you to surrender and to humble yourself and to say, Lord, I am not worthy. I have been so bad. I have not been good. And you see, the Bible says that as Zacchaeus heard his voice, the Bible says that, in verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Obedience to the voice of God is the beginning of a big change, and it's a change for the better. If we can be able to hearken to the voice of the Almighty God, then it will be a beginning of, it will be a beginning of a new change in our life. To be born again by the Spirit of God. To be born again and to have the kingdom dwell in our hearts and the King of Kings begins to live in our hearts and have a board in our hearts and to control us and to guide us and to take care of us. I want to finish by telling you of the story of a man that I heard about a kind of a person that really lived in a five-story building. And this man really had a big room. And therefore, he was being pestered or being, there had been a problem by the people who lived around. They came in every day and they were trying really to really hurt him. But there's somebody that came in his life, came and asked him, please, would you allow me to live with you in this house? This man said, well, you can live if you want to. Maybe you can take this one room, stay there, live there, and you have your time. Therefore, he lived there. That man began to live in that house. So that night, those people came. And as they knocked that door, they looked at that who was there and said, no, we are sorry. And then they went up there and they started beating and almost killing that man. And the next day, this man went to the one that he welcomed in his house and asked, please, I've given you a room. I've given you a house in my house. Why don't you bother even to defend me from my enemies that continue to disturb me and are against my life? And then the next day, this man said, well, please, if you want me to help you, you need to give me one more room because in your five-story building, you've only given me one. So the man said, okay, you can take the second story. So this man came. The next night, these people came in again. They wanted looking for this man and wanted to really kill him again. And they went to knock the first door. They find this. They said, no, I think we have lost. This is not the right room we were looking for. They went to a second one, and this man opened the door and said, oh, no, where is this man? He said, well, it's upstairs. They went up there and beat him almost to death. Then the man came and said, brother, what is wrong with you? Can't you help me? You are living in my house and you cannot even do something to help me with my enemies. He said, well, you have given me only two-story building and I am taking care of them as you gave them to me. So he gave the third one. The same thing happened until he gave the fourth one and the fifth one. When he gave the fifth one, these thieves and robbers came again in the night. And as they knocked the door, nobody answered. They locked the second door and the third story. And when they reached the fifth, the man was about to stand up and go and open the door. But this man told him, no, you just have to sleep. You don't have to stand up again. Because I am with you. I'm the one that is in charge. So he said, I am now the owner. The owner must answer the door. So he woke up and went. And as he opened the door, those people said, no, we have gone to the wrong place. This is not the right place. Say, well, say now the owner must answer the door. I say this to say that some of us find it difficult to surrender our lives. We want to surrender just part of our lives, and we don't want Christ to be able to take over. So the sooner we learn to surrender, just like Zacchaeus surrendered his life and humbly gave over. You see, the Bible says that Jesus spoke, even as people murmured, that he has gone to the house of a tax collector, the one that was not worthy. He stood up and said, if I have done anything bad, and if I have really swindled any money from any person, I'm ready to pay. That meant that he was really ready to give over everything. And as he spoke, he said, I give all that I have given, taken away from the people. Jesus stood up and said, now salvation has come to this house. Because this is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. I want to say that it's high time to surrender our lives to him. You will lose nothing if you surrender to Him. Obedient to the voice of God is the beginning of a change. A change for the better. By having Christ to become the Lord and by accepting the call and the voice that is calling in your heart to give over your life. When you feel convicted in your spirit and you feel the sin and you say it is true what the Bible says, that all have sinned and fallen short of glory of God. And that is true, that the Bible says that the reward for sin, that there is a reward that the Holy Spirit gives us, and that the judgment for sin is death. And if you allow Jesus Christ to save our soul, He'll give us the gift of life. I want to tell you that if you are here and lost, it's not late. You can mend that way tonight by humbling yourself and by making an urgent call and an urgent response to the call that Jesus is calling right now. He says, come to me, those who are heavy laden, and there's a promise that He will give you rest. And may the Lord bless you as you consider that call, the call to become the child of God, the call to say, I am truly responsible, and I truly know that I am Adamic. I am come from Adam, and therefore the sin of Adam is in me, and I need the help of God, because it's only through Jesus Christ that Adamic sin can be atoned. So come to Him while there's still time. Come to Him when there's still mercy and grace is sufficient for every believer, for everyone that comes unto Him. And may the Lord bless you. If you're there tonight and you feel that you want to respond to this call, I want to tell you that you need not to wait for tomorrow, because there are many that have waited and kept this and trying to postpone this call. But they found themselves right now, they are really in hell, crying and saying, I wish I could have time. I could have more time. I should have repented. I should have called upon God. I should have asked for forgiveness. But now, despite the fact that they are calling, despite the fact that they are seeking, and they are crying and yelling in hell, there is no salvation, because Christ is not there in hell. But I thank God for the opportunity that we can call upon Him and He can respond, because He's still alive, stretching forth His hand every day. Come to me. Seek Him while He's still near. Call upon Him while He can still be found. And that is my prayer, and that's my call, that you'll see it as an urgent humbling, and that is binding, abiding. The Lord wants to live with us, to take care of us, to secure us. And may the Lord bless you.
I want to say this, if there's anybody here tonight that's lost, the Lord wants to save you. I was thinking while Brother Tom was preaching,